This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. For the regular viewers, this might throw you because the man to my that way is one of the co-creators, the co-founder, the chief, shall we say, of the podcast. However, back when a couple of the guys did Who Are You interviews, but unfortunately Omar never got round to doing his. So today we're bringing you Who Are You with one half of the dynamic duo. Omar, how are you?
I'm all right, Stephen. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well. Very well. As I say, very weird for me because I'm interviewing someone which we wouldn't really be here without you. So it's a bit of a strange situation. But I'm sure the listeners are dead keen to get to know you and hear about your Millwall story. Obviously,
it's on my part with that one. It's like, I'm like, do people really want to know? But I thought it'd be a good loss to do it anyway. So I'm keen for this and look forward to it, mate.
Absolutely. And I'm sure when the numbers go through the roof, then you'll see how popular you are and how you outshine the other half of the dynamic duo. But Omar, take it away. Tell us firstly a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I guess I don't know how deep to go with this one, but. I'm the south side of 30 just. I'm a Millwall supporter, as we all are. An IT engineer by trades and been a Millwall fan since, 2003, which I know we'll come on to in a bit. Early 2000s. My first shirt was 2000, but been going to games since 2003. But I'm sure you'll ask me that in a minute. But I mean, it's as interesting as they come, right? So there you go.
Absolutely. And obviously, 2003. I'm trying to think who would have been in that team. But why Millwall? What brought you to the Den?
My old man was a Millwall fan in the 80s and 90s. I'm actually part Turkish Cypriot. My dad's part of the Turkish contingent of Millwall fans in the 80s and 90s, should I say. And they've still a few of them knocking about nowadays. Obviously, my dad as well used to work at the CAF across the road, Millwall CAF. And it's obviously kind of convenient at the time, obviously being quite handy on a match day, let's say the least. I mean, obviously he took me to my first game and stuck it ever since, really.
And talking about your first game, do you remember who it was against?
I did check it out to make sure because I didn't know if I imagined it, but I think it was in 2003 January and we beat Watford 4-0. There you go. So that's not a bad first game to come back to, right?
one of the questions that, and one of the things with when I've done these interviews previously, and obviously you'd have seen that when people say that they lost the first game that they went to, you kind of think that's not the kind of style. But a 4-0 win, you must have thought you were the best team in the league.
I think, I mean, at the time, obviously, to be fair, I come from a family, which I'll be fully open. I come from a family where some of them are Chelsea, some are Millwall. And when you're young and you're a kid, my dad obviously working a lot of Saturdays and stuff. I didn't always get to go to the Millwall games, but kind of got to an age when I went to the first football game was at Millwall. And then I have family that are Chelsea fans too. So I've been to a few Chelsea games. And then it got to age probably about 8 or 9 years old where it's like, right, are you going to be a Chelsea fan or a Millwall fan? I'm being full transparent, full open here and into the podcast world. And I'll take all the stick I get for it. But I chose the right club in my eyes, chose Millwall, and the rest is history, really.
Absolutely. And I mean, in terms of the ground, obviously, it annoys me when people call it the new Den. It's not new anymore because we've been there for quite a while. Obviously, we're similar age So obviously didn't get to go to the old Den. But what was your first impression of the ground? Did I'm assuming as a kid it's a football stadium. You kind of your eyes widened.
Yeah. I do remember like it was that kind of, you like the eye widening is probably a good one actually, because when you would go to like, you watch it on TV, I was always playing football as a kid and stuff, and like going to my first game, I actually distinctly remember it kind of coming out and seeing the pitch and like kind of being in the stands. I actually still remember that moment now, you know. It's a euphoric moment, I think. It's like you're kind of like, oh my god, this is for me, this. And like even as a kid, like just a buzz for it really, and obviously enjoying going to the games and stuff, and you take it from there. And I don't suppose you lose that buzz really. I think that the only time I really get back at the Den is like probably the first game back at the Den in a new season and stuff. You like miss this place, it's been a few months, but I do remember that feeling where just walking in, coming down the steps, I'm like, wow, this is nice, this. And yeah, the rest is history, mate.
And I mean, I know where you sit, but our listeners obviously don't. Do you, in your first game, did you sit in the same place that you are now? Have you moved about? Or
my first actual game, I sat East Lower, towards the away end, well, the Dockers stand, but I still call it East and West stands and North stand and Cobble Lane end. But that was my first game, and then after that, I actually sat from where I am now, which is Cobble Lane Lower, block 37 to be precise, if you want to come and find me one night on match day, hopefully only for all positive reasons. But yeah, block 37, Cobble Lane. I've always sat in the same block aside from that first game. Obviously, when the stand's shut for cup games and stuff, I'll sit elsewhere. But yeah, from 2003 onwards, it's pretty much been that seat. I've kind of moved further up the stairs as I go through the seasons. So I'm towards the back now. I don't think I'll ever leave it, despite obviously not being the greatest of views sitting down there. But yeah, it's home, as they say.
It's one of those, isn't it, with your seat. Once you find one or a block, for example, you just can't leave it. Like you say, with a cup, you're forced to go elsewhere. Mm. I'm never usually a fan of that, personally. As I say, your seat is home. In terms of now moving away from the ground to players, just thinking about, so from 2002, I think I know the answer to some of these questions, but we'll see. Your favourite all-time player in a Millwall shirt?
I could go for that kind of era. I think for me, there's obviously a few different players that spring to mind, but my favourite all-time Millwall player, I've got a couple really, and the reason why it's two is I can't decide between the pair of them, but one is David Ford and one's Jimmy Abdou. Purely because I've seen their whole career, obviously, for Millwall. But Neil Harris is obviously a legend. Like, Neil Harris is the pinnacle. But obviously, following the club from that era onwards, I missed the best years of Neil Harris, really, scoring the goals for fun that he did. Mm. Obviously, he had his illness. And like, I think for him to come back and do what he did and become the all-time leading goal scorer, it goes down in that. But I've obviously, being Cobble Lane Lower, you kind of get that relationship with the goalkeeper in a weird way. I can only describe it if you sit there, like they come over obviously every game to clap you, you know, in the warm-ups and stuff, and when you're younger, you're there early and stuff. David Ford for me is like the pinnacle of, I think, like it's purely the best goalkeeper I've seen playing for Millwall. Obviously, we had Tony Warner and stuff early doors when I was going. But David Ford for me is just like also the epitome of hard work. Like, he signed for us in League One, transitioned to the Championship with us, went on to play for Ireland and become Ireland's number one. And there was nothing pretty or fancy about David Ford, but it was a pure Millwall character and one of the governors, as they say. And he worked his way into that position and kept it for so many years. And I think that's a really underrated thing of him nowadays.
And you mentioned Jimmy Abdou. I think most supporters of a certain area will always have a soft spot for Jimmy. Probably a silly question, but it's another one that epitomises what it meant to play for Millwall, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think similar to Ford, you know, David Ford is not a fancy modern-day goalkeeper. He was a shot stopper. He was good at what he'd done. And the same with Jimmy Abdou. You know, he didn't have to glorify his position. He knew exactly what he was capable of. And I think, as Millwall fans, we take to players like that, don't we? And I think Jimmy Abdou's job was simple. Win the ball, pass it to Trotter a lot of the time. And that was all Jimmy Abdou did. But, you know, there was games where, you know, I think QPR way when he had man-marked to Raps, I remember. And the same with McCandawiri when he played that position as well. You know, these players, like, they do the simple things good. And that's a quality that's often underrated, I think, nowadays in football.
Absolutely. And in terms of a manager, I mean, you're probably blessed that whilst you've seen some bad times, you've obviously seen some very, very good ones. Yeah. Favourite manager?
Yeah, it's a toss-up between, obviously, longevity-wise, it's either Jackett or Harris, but it's got to be Kenny Jackett for me. Obviously, Dennis Wise, FA Cup era, You know, as being a young kid, it's quite nostalgic looking back at that. You can, you know, I can still remember all the games for the cup run. Obviously, you know, them sort of things obviously live long in the memory of a young child at the time. But I think to appreciate what we've done as a club, I think Kenny Jackett, for me, probably my best years. Neil Harris as well has given us really good years in recent times. But I think Kenny Jackett just edged out for me.
And keeping with players, but I'm going to go down a different route now in the worst players. So firstly, the worst player you've seen in a Millwall shirt.
God. That's a tough question, you know, because there's been some clangers for Millwall. The first one that springs to mind, though, when I see that question, I think of Richard Duffy. Remember the centre-half, Richard Duffy, the Welsh centre-half? And Jackett signed him when we was in League One, and he was so pony. Like, I mean, there was an era when I first started going where the fans used to always get on the back of Mark Phillips and Kevin Braniff because they both came through similar times. And that was quite, I think there's a time, obviously, the club started to do a bit worse, but Phillips got a lot of stick. But for me, I remember Richard Duffy, I think, 2008, 2009 times. And I think he went on to have a decent career, to be fair, but he just couldn't do it for us at then. And then you think of strikers that we've signed. I remember we signed, obviously, Ranigi, for example, in more recent times and stuff like that, or Meyerhofer. I know the Hoff's got some nostalgia, I think, even in your mind a little bit for a couple of games. But yeah, there's been some real up and downs, but Richard Duffy's the first player that comes to head, so sorry Richard Duffy.
If you're watching, we do apologise. And not that Richard Duffy would probably watch a Millwall pod, but you never know. And I mean, it's really difficult, this next one, because I always, as you know a lot about your football and opposition teams, and you kind of, you're looking at players, but you always look at the good players that tend to be against us rather than the bad ones. But worst player you've seen play against Millwall?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. Who first comes to head there? Worst player to play against Millwall? Cool. I know this is not a great. I should have probably prepped for this one, to be honest. I've seen the questions prior, but I was trying to go in on the cuff here. But I'm going to go for the worst player to play against Millwall. I'm just going to throw a curveball in there and go for someone like Lee Hughes, just because he's got a lot of negative connotations against Millwall. I'm going to go Lee Hughes. There you go. The Oldham striker, because he always seems to score against us. Which is defeating the purpose of the question, but it's quite a difficult one to quantify an answer there. He was quite a villain, and I seem to remember...
He was a villain.
Yeah, he was a bit of a villain for us, I think. And I'm going to go Lee Hughes, there you go.
And he also, the thing with Lee Hughes as well, was that celebration he had. He did it was really frustrating. And fair enough. And
it's a bit of a different connotation, that one, but yeah, I think, I just feel like, thinking of, like I say, thinking of standout players, but... There's definitely a lot of worse players that play against us, but I'll go for that one.
And as Omar just said, obviously, we look at the questions, and the guys know who do this, what's coming. However, I've got a question for you that's a little bit of a curveball. And this is the real one that he's not seen. That it just comes to me before we went live. And I thought, I'll ask him. I touched on and said that you know your football. If there was one player over the years of following Millwall and not, like Messi, Ronaldo, an obvious answer, that you wish you could have seen the club sign, who would it be and why?
Oh, this is a real curveball. One player that I've always liked, that I wish we signed. Do you know, I'm thinking like 2010 eras, like the 2010s kind of era. I'm stuck between a couple, actually. This is a real curveball, Steve. I like this one.
You can have an honourable mention if you want, if you need to.
Right. I'm going to go, do you know who I always appreciated in the Championship, playing them a lot and stuff like that? I always liked Albert Adoma. And I think he would have really fit in at a certain point for Millwall, right? Because he's a proper winger. And I, you know what I'm like about Millwall wingers and strikers. I really liked Albert Adoma a lot. I thought, like, for a Championship standard, he kept doing it for so many years, and I think he's still going until recent, really. And I look at someone like that. Also, Joby Mackenough was another one that rings a bell. I know he's ex-Palace, I think, at one point. But like, they're the kind of players that always stuck out to me when we played against them, that I always thought, oh, we're going to have a tough game today. But Albert Adoma was like a seasoned Championship pro that I always thought, good player that I would love to have seen play for us at one point or another. And the other one that I was going to say, who's actually like, there's three players I was thinking about there, was Peter Whittingham for Nottingham Forest. proper midfielder, always had a set-piece goal in him and always seemed to cause us trouble. But, you know, I've kind of gone like more on watching Millwall play, like you say, not to go to, you could go for the big boys in the Premier League and stuff, but they're three players that I've always, when we played against their clubs, when they were at Cardiff, for example, Whittingham, Adoma, with all the various clubs you play for in the Championship, where I thought, I'd love to have them play for us. And yeah, there's my three.
I tell you what, on Albert Adoma, that is probably the best answer you could have given, because he is one that I remember there was a Tuesday night game we played against Reading and I went on my own and he absolutely ruined Scott Barron. He was unplayable that night, Albert Adoma. And I come out of the ground, phoned my dad and said, do you know what? He's one of the best players I've ever seen. And it was Adoma. And then I think he still plays now. I actually still think he is in the Championship. But
there was a club last year, I think maybe QPR he might have been at, maybe.
Yeah.
QPR. But yeah, top winger, honestly. I would love to see him play for Millwall, I think.
Absolutely. That was a really good answer. I'm pleased that it was a curveball question, but you've come out with three cracking answers there. Going on to games now and moments and things like that. What would you say is probably your most memorable game following Millwall? It doesn't have to be a win. It can be an event, a moment. But what would you say the most memorable game for you is?
Yeah. See, the thing is, though, when you think memorable, it is normally like, I think, I know there's a question coming later for best away days and stuff. So I'm trying to avoid going down that route. But like when you think memorable, you think of them sort of games. I'll throw one in now and I'll save the other one for later, I think, to be honest. But the most memorable for me is a Bury away, because when we won 3-2 with O'Brien scoring at the last minute, just that pure elation, that scene at the end, and obviously when the goal came and how it happened, being 2-0 down, turning it around 23-2. The pitch was like half frozen, like them sort of things stick in the memory and stuff like that, where it was literally the left byline the whole way up the pitch was, looked like it should have been called off, to be honest. And it was cold. You go to grim northern Manchester town and you get the win. I think like that's the thing you love most about them away days, when you win in them sort of places, really.
Absolutely. And I mean, on a similar question, I guess, and this is more maybe a specific to an actual moment. So the best moment following Millwall?
Ooh, probably Steve Morrison's goal at Wembley. And it's again, recent memory and recent bias, but like just that sheer elation when he scored it quite late in the game at Wembley at the playoffs. Obviously, saw us lose the year before. I think that was like a big moment in the game where, you know, like you're thinking if you're going to extra time, I don't think my heart would have been able to take it, to be honest, at the time.
No.
And like you're thinking, what's going to happen here? And then Morrison pops up with the winner, like in the 86th minute. It's just, yeah, I think to me, that's probably one of my best moments, really, following Millwall, I think.
Do you think that moment was made more special for, again, a younger generation because Neil Harris was manager?
Yeah. Definitely. I think if you could even take that moment and spin it and go, Neil Harris lifting the trophy at Wembley as a manager, like I can picture that moment. I remember like waiting to cheer that, like, because you always go through the players and cheer. Normally you get the big cheer when they lift the trophy at first, with the captain lifting the trophy and stuff like that. And you go through the rest of the players, and you get to the squad players, the fringe players, the youth players, like, hey. And then you're waiting for Neil to lift the trophy, and then he gives it some one-handed, like giving the trophy, like them sort of moments. Yeah, 100%. Like Neil Harris winning the trophy, winning the playoffs and winning the promotion for us. It was pure, it was special because, you know, he came back and he's done it again now, obviously in recent times, but, you know, he's put his reputation on the line, whether it's as a player or manager, his reputation is on the line when he comes back to the club. And yeah, he did it and conquered, really.
Absolutely. And this is a difficult question because this tends to be more things that go on outside of the ground or away from football. And as most of our listeners will know, and myself included, you are a connoisseur of the away day. you do love an away trip, especially up to up north. What would you say is your funniest moment while following the club? And it can be during a game, but I would imagine you've probably got some stories in your locker of
I don't know if any of them are worthy to share some of the ones that I can go down routes with there. funniest moment following Millwall. Oh, yeah. There's definitely a few that you can be mentioned. That's probably not safe for this show. I'm gonna go for funniest moment. Do you know what? What I found quite funny, even though it was like it was terrible at the time, was going to Oldham away and getting the game called off due to waterlogged pitch. the reason why it was funny was because we've travelled all that way, and so basically it was Oldham away under Harris, maybe the first or second season in League One. I'm going to say second, I think. It might have been the second season. Game gets called off prior to Christmas. We've got all the way to Oldham. We get off the train. It's pissing down with rain, and we're fucking walking through the rain to go to the ground. We're like, fuck me, we best turn up and win today. We get to the ground. The last thing we expected was the game to be called off. And then a little nugget for it afterwards, like, we managed to blag our way into the grounds because we're like, we've come all this way. We want to see the pitch. I was like, I think my mate said, and we got managed to get on the pitch. And then my mate runs on the pitch and goes, yeah, it's definitely waterlogged, lads. And I think the game's off today. But they were quite good to us, really. They gave us programs. I'm like, I've got a program of the game that didn't happen. that's probably something worthwhile to keep, isn't it? Yeah. We could have called them away. And then they gave us a pie and a beer as well. I was like, oh, thank you for that. And then we had to walk around with Mario back in the rain again. But yeah, like stuff like that where like you're with your mates having a good time on an away day. I've got really PG there, but yeah, I hold them away when the game's called off. That was quite funny.
There's the next question, and we'll come on to it, but we will be recording Omar after dark. So the stories that come out that can't go out on this show, we'll be doing it on a separate one. But obviously, in terms of obviously following Millwall, mm-hmm. What would you say is your best story? What's the one thing that you go back to maybe in 10, 20 years time, you'd be telling your kids or later on down the line, grandkids or whatever? What would you say is the best story?
Do you know what? I've got a good story. It was under Ian Holloway towards the end of his tenure as manager. Obviously, we all wanted him out by this point. And we had Middlesbrough away on a Tuesday night, and I decided to get the coach up. Coach one, Barmy Army up to Middlesbrough away. We get battered. It's either 3 or 4-0. Bamford scored a couple goals for them. It's when he was scoring goals for fun for Middlesbrough. We lose, and I think he goes after the Norwich game on the weekend leading up to that. And then we get back to the den 4 in the morning, Tuesday or Wednesday morning at this point. And like, we're just leaving the ground, and like, we're like, fucking, this is shit. I think we're waiting for a cab or something to get us back. And then the players' coach turns up, and we're like, some of the boys that are there, like, fuck it, let's abuse them, because obviously we just lost 4-0 and they're pissed off, whatever. And then they all get off the coach, and Jos Hoiveld's there. And I think one of the lads joked, going, give us a lift back to Bromley, because that's where I live. And he goes, all right then, get in. So then we're in, we're at 4 in the morning on Wednesday morning outside the den. We get a lift home from Jos Hoiveld, which of all people, who does go down as also one of my favourite players for purely that reason. And obviously, I'm only, 18, 19 at the time. And we're in his car. And he spent the whole half-hour journey just literally talking about Holloway and how he wanted things to work. But like, it was the most bizarre thing that's ever happened to me, where I'm in his car like, how have I landed up here? Like, it's bizarre. But it was good value at the time. And weird day. Lose 3 or 4-0. Spend 12 hours on a coach in all round trip, and at the end of it, I mean, your 12-hour car getting dropped off at the front door. So yeah, interesting one.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I bet you'll struggle to find many people that we speak to that, A, have had a lift home from a current Millwall player after an away game. And two, I would probably say nowadays, that sort of thing just wouldn't happen. The players just wouldn't
ever
risk that kind of heat. So that is pretty impressive. And I guess as well that, I mean, he wasn't bad either, was he? Really? Let's face it, he wasn't that bad. So it could have been worse.
You could have... as well, when we won 2-1. So yeah, it goes down in my books for that one as well. But yeah, he was good. He was a nice guy as well. He gave me a shirt at the end of the season as well, and remembered giving me the lift as well. So it was just like stuff like this, little nuggets of, you know, it was a cool story at the time, obviously, and it's still something I probably would talk about now and tell people about. So yeah, there you go.
Absolutely, there you go. Before we move on to the next question, I'm gonna not curveball because it's one of the pre-prep questions, but I'm gonna bring you to today, to the current day. Obviously, the Lions are having a difficult season so far. Mm-hmm. We've had many a show. We've had many a debate on the players. Yep. Who's your favourite player in the current Millwall squad?
I think you could answer this one for me, Stephen. It's Danny McNamara, mate, by a country mile. He's my favourite Millwall player in this squad. Not because of his talent, and I'll be first to say that. But we obviously, a lot of people give me stick for it, and the boys get you all give me stick for it. But I love Danny McNamara. I think, you know, he's probably the modern day Alan Dunn in that sense of purpose. You know, he's a right back, plays the same position as Dunny did. And I think we should support people that are like from the, you know, they're Millwall fans playing for the club. And okay, I get it. You know, there's probably better players in that position at the moment. Norton Cuffey obviously held down the shirt, and now Ryan Leonard. But I think Danny's just a top person, firstly, Millwall fan. And he got a bit of bad stick a couple of years ago for the contract situation. But he's a player that I look at where I go, if I was playing for this club, I'd play that way. And for that reason, Danny Mack is my favourite Millwall player in this current time. And it's hard pickings at the moment because a lot of players, I'll be honest, you can't really relate to a lot of the players in our squad. There's obviously good individual talents in there, Fleming, Denore and stuff like that. But to me, like on a Saturday, if I turn up to the game and I see Danny Mack playing, I know he's going to give his all. Okay, it's not maybe the best technically wise, but Danny Mack's my answer. And you knew that was coming, surely, right?
I knew that was coming. And just to clarify, for the benefit, if Danny McNamara does watch the show, that we don't give him that much stick that you're his favourite player. And I'm pretty sure, without throwing you under the bus, that I'm pretty sure that you're after a shirt of Danny McNamara's as well.
Try not to mention it, but yes. I've been known to run into Danny a couple of times, firstly whilst I'm pissed, which is not always a clever move. So player of the year comes to mind a couple of times after the games when we've been having a drink or whatever and stuff, and he's leaving the ground. I'm promised a shirt by you, Danny, and seeing as you brought it up, Danny, I want my shirt. There you go.
Yeah, Danny McNamara, if you are listening or you do watch, or any of Danny's family, can we please get a shirt to Omar? It's the one thing he needs. And the chances are we'll be at the End of Season Awards this year. So perfect opportunity to get that.
It'd have right a place for Jimmy Abdu, David Ford and Danny McNamara. I think that's fair. Three shirts on the wall there. So yeah. I want the shirt.
We're going to have to clip that now because send it to him. David Fould and Jimmy Abdi, your favourite players, and Danny all up on the wall. That's high praise. But I think what's interesting there, though, and I've never really thought about it, what you said is spot on. He is like the modern-day Alan Dunn.
Yeah.
And someone who would run through brick walls for the club, but probably isn't as appreciated as much as others. I can understand, and you're right when you say sometimes in all Millwall teams there's players you can identify to. Unfortunately, we've kind of lost that a little bit this season, but there are still players that fall into that category. Best away day following Millwall. As I said earlier, and our listeners, I'm sure they'll know that Omar does do quite a lot of the away games. Been to a lot of places up and down the country, so there's probably quite a lot of different answers you could give to this. So again, I will give you an honourable mention if you need to. You said Bury is your most memorable match, so I'm going to ban that as a best away day. Go. Yeah.
I'm going to go Leeds away 4-3 win. There's purely because of that result. Firstly, at the time, you know, we had to go. I've been Leeds countless times before that, where you have to get on the coach, get to the service station, get off, exchange a voucher. You're getting filmed with police cameras and stuff to get your ticket, treated like animals, whatever. But that's a whole topic for another day. This was the first one without restrictions. Neil Harrison, the manager, going up to Elland Road, you know, in the Championship against them, just been promoted that season. It had everything, didn't it? Let's be honest. We won 4-3. We was 2-0 up. They went down to 10 men. They somehow managed to have 3 to 10 men. We've had a good day out in Leeds. It was my birthday weekend as well. And we managed to turn it around and win the 90th minute to win 4-3. So it is my best away day. It's like you rolled it all into one. It's in January. It's your birthday weekend. We went out afterwards, had a fucking brilliant night out back in London afterwards. Like, that's everything you really want, really. And other away days that stick in the memory. I mean, oddly enough, Tottenham away at White Hart Lane when we lost 6-0. okay, we lost 6-0, but it's a cup quarter final. It was their last season at White Hart Lane too. You know, managed to see Mill play there and stuff like that. Like, there's games like that do kind of stick in the memory, obviously. But stuff like, you know, obviously winning 4-3 at Elland Road, it doesn't get a lot better than that, to be honest, as a Mill supporter, it's fair to say.
No. I mean, I think as well that we hadn't won away that season, had we, up until that point either. No. So it just everything aligned that day for us.
I had gone to every single game that season as well, up to that point as well. So I've seen us lose every single game that season away from home or whatever we did, and to win that 4-3, brilliant.
Unbelievable. On the subject of the Spurs game, I don't know, yep. I was there as well that day. And I don't know what you thought of this, but as the players come out, and you had obviously the Spurs fans and they were singing, I never forget that moment that Harris sort of looked over to us, clapped, and the roar from us. And even then, you know, the game didn't go how we wanted it to. But at 6-0, I mean, I don't know about you, but we were still there and sort of cheering the team on and whatnot. And those kind of moments, you just don't forget. Even in defeat, it was just a day where you could say it was proud to be a Millwall fan there that day.
Definitely, mate. And I think there's one other honourable mention actually that just sprung to memory that I should have probably said. But with White Hart Lane, obviously, you're right. Like that senior side at a Premier League stadium, we dream of that one day. We want it to all happen for one season. Only one season is what we want. Hmm. And hopefully we get that one day. But one other mention actually, we beat Palace away 1-0 in 2010. We just got promoted in the playoffs and Theo Robson scored the winner. We win 1-0. We had the whole away end along the far side of the pitch, the Arthur Waite stand, whatever it's called. And I think we got allocated 4,000 or 5,000 tickets. I reckon it was about 8,000 Mill fans that day in that away end. And I shit you not, it was literally like, it was a bit like Spurs, which is what kind of made me think of it. Because Spurs was, you was all kind of standing on each other. At Palace away, Phil Robertson scores, we win 1-0, we're wearing that all yellow kit that we had that year, and it was just like, it was such a good day, like, because we hadn't played Palace for a good few years before that, because we're stuck in League One, and the winning that game 1-0, Robertson scores the winner, and I honestly, that whole away end's full, and sometimes I'm still going on YouTube and I was watching them videos that day, because that away game was sticks in the memory as well, for sure.
Absolutely, and speaking of Palace, this might lead us on, this might lead us on nicely. So I'm going to sort of put two questions here together. I'm going to ask you your the most disliked, if that's the right way of wording it, opponent, but also the top three. So three rivals that, in your mind, your biggest rivals, not necessarily what would be the traditional ones.
Okay, biggest rivals got to be West Ham. West Ham, for every single reason that we all know about for the history of that. And then I'll throw in Palace, because they are a big, I think we obviously have big games against them, and like, especially my early years going to the games and stuff like that, we always seem to have ding dong of games and stuff, and Ben Watson always seems to fucking score against us and all them sort of stuff that stick in the memory. Ben Watson's from Bermondsey, from a Mill family, but always seems to score the winner against us in the 90th minute for Palace. So I don't know how he did it, he always did. And obviously, like I said about that game in 2010, Palace are definitely one of our rivals. And then the third one that I'll throw into there, I'm going to say Leeds. I could have gone Charlton, I could have gone all the local routes, but I think even the weekend just gone playing Leeds, you know, we've recorded it after the Leeds game where we've lost 2-0. But, you know, I think that's like Leeds, obviously, we've borne the rivalry out of the playoffs. Jimmy Abdou scoring that goal at Elland Road. And we always had that edge in them games. The crowd are always up for it. They won't admit to it, but they always look forward to playing us. We always look forward to playing them. It's one of those rivalries that's not spoken about, but is appreciated, I feel like. And we'll both refuse to acknowledge it, but like start of the season and knowing we're going to Leeds away, that's, I was checking straight away when to Leeds away, and I think that has some value to that really. So there's my three, West Ham being the biggest, Palace and Leeds also completing the three.
And in terms of disliked opponents, this is one that it might be for any reason really, but would you class one of those three as your most disliked, or would you look elsewhere for that?
Okay. Good question. I probably could look elsewhere. I could throw an argument in for Scunthorpe for 2009. But I'll probably say Barnsley. I it's a shithole of a place to go, Barnsley. It is pure shithole. Disliked opponent. I'm going to pick out Adam Habel from that squad when they beat us. I fucking hate Adam Habel. I've never liked playing against him. He's a good winger, to be fair to him. He always seemed to be up for it against us. And I mentioned Lee Hughes earlier. Marlon King's another one that played for various clubs, always done well against us. And all that, you know, the list could go on. But Barnsley and Adam Habel in particular, just disliked him. Obviously, losing the playoffs, but the manner how it happened, the goals he scored a fucking brilliant goal, didn't he? Where he cuts in from 30 yards and sticks it top corner. But yeah, obviously the three rivals I mentioned, obviously I'll dislike, but I'll add in Barnsley and Adam Hamill for that.
There's certain clubs, isn't there? And I don't know about you, but whenever it comes up to a fixture against them and you just think, oh, they always beat us. Barnsley was one for a long, long time that every time you'd come up against them, you just knew what was coming. You knew it was going to be a defeat. So I always think dislike for me, as I said, my answers were always like, as a kid growing up, knowing that the other team were just going to beat you because they always did, not necessarily the teams that you didn't like. We, again, something that we've spoke about a lot on this show together and separately and again at games and whatnot is the fact that we're a club like no other. We're not, we don't sort of follow the same rules of normal football clubs and other football clubs. We are unique. But on that, is there anything, if at all, if you could, that you would change about Millwall Football Club?
I think modern days, in more like recent years, last couple of years, I probably would change. I'd probably change a few things about. I wish the club would do more for the fans. That's one thing I would say. To go into depth with that one, I feel like there's some incentives they could probably do more for the fans. Appreciate the people that go home and away. You know, there's only, 600-700 people that go every single game home and away, or maybe not even that, 300-400 and stuff. But I feel like the club could do more to look after them sort of fans. But on a more trivial thing, I'd just serve better beer at the ground. There you go. That's one thing I wish they could change at Millwall. It shows you my thing. I mean, look, I'm proud of being a Millwall fan. I love everything about being a Millwall supporter. I preached that, you know, we should be 4-4-2, two wingers, two strikers, have a go and play against sides, play with our chest out, have players in there that come from the club, come from the area, which is why I take a liking to players like Danny McNamara. You know, I think we need players in that side that understand what it's meant to be to play for Millwall. And for that, like, I wouldn't want to change anything in that side of things. Neil Harris in charge, he's a Millwall man, gets the club, gets the side, gets the fans. There's so much elements of that. But yeah, there's not a lot I would really change. Maybe more back in, I said, for the fans that go home and away everywhere, because, you know, it's not easy doing that. It's a lot of money as well. But yeah, I wish they could serve Stella in the stadium. There you go. There's my one contribution.
So, again, if anyone from the club is watching, if we could sort out some Stella in the ground,
it'd make my
day. Your profits would go through the roof. To be fair, we'd have a massive summer transfer.
Not a big ask. To spend. I'd be there from opening. I'd be there at midday if I had to kick off, no problem. And a midweek game.
A couple of little quirky questions to sort of finish up on this. Millwall fans are not necessarily known for their for the shirts, buying and wearing them. We're a club that tend to go in your own clothes as such, and they're kind of, you know, not wearing the kit around. But I know for a fact that you've obviously got a couple of shirts and bits and pieces. What would you say is your all-time favourite Millwall shirt?
Yeah, tricky one. It comes down to two for me. Either the FA Cup final 2004 shirt, nostalgia, that moment, obviously, being a kid at the time as well. That really does, you know, obviously with the Ryman sponsor on there, of all sponsors, obviously it's got to be the owners, retail business as well. But I'm going to go for the Giorgio white top. I think that's one of my favourite ones. I think it was my first top I had as well. So obviously it's a bit of sentiment there for me. But the Giorgio white top that we had, 2001? I'm going to say that's probably my favourite all-time shirt for Millwall.
Again, a little bit of a curveball question for you here on kit. So you would have obviously grown up and going to games similar to me, and we always had, it was blue and white. That was just the way that it went. You had the odd yellow and the odd green and bits and pieces. Are you a fan of nowadays that we seem to have some very leery kits We've got the oranges, we've got the pinks, we've had the, you know, the electric blue. Are you a fan of that as a Millwall fan, or would you rather go back to really keep it the old school? I know there's money in third kits and things, but what are your thoughts on that?
It's not really something I used to look forward to kits when you're younger, like you say, and I'm not really a shirt collector or anything per se. So it doesn't really overly bother me, but I think we should keep just a standard blue home top, white away top, and then have an orange fur kit. And it doesn't have to get too deviant from that afterwards. It doesn't have to change too much. One away top, actually, that I'm thinking about that sticks in the memory, actually, away kit. The year we had Jacket first in charge, we had Opida as a sponsor. We had an away kit, which was yellow shirt, blue shorts, blue socks, and it was literally the Brazil kit. Like, and it's like, I was like, that sticks in the memory, actually, as oddly as a kit that I actually liked. It was different to obviously the blue and white kind of concept, whatever. But that kit, I think, actually, with the whole setup, when I think about it, you've got players like Ali Fusini playing in this and Ahmet Berkovic, right? And I'm telling you now, there was times when we played at Brazil that season.
Just on that, without stealing your thunder, if anyone would like to go back and listen to my Who Are You, I have an interesting story about that shirt and that kit from that. See, I do, yes. So go back and listen to mine, and because I do not want to steal your thunder here, Omar. And obviously, finally, last question out of the list that we've got here. You said that you wasn't much of a shirt collector, but I know that you do have, again, quite a few, and obviously going to games and programs and tickets and things. Mm-hmm. What would you say is probably the best piece of Millwall memorabilia that you owned?
I actually was prepared for this one because it is my key ring my dad gave me for the last game at the Den. There you go. That is my favourite bit of memorabilia that I've got. So it's Mill Bristol Rovers at the old Den. I don't know how clear it's showing on the screen, but it's basically the stub of a ticket in gold. This is my favourite bit of memorabilia I've got. I've got player shirts, which I'm really grateful for, having my dad work at the, obviously, across the road, and had his relations and his benefits. He you know, he bungs the kit man of bacon sarnie. He gives him back a top at the end of the season. I'm not complaining. It made my day. I never said no. But obviously, a couple shirts I've got, you know, I love Jimmy Abdu's one, Davis Ford's one, and bits and bobs like that. But this key ring, I don't know why. I've not seen many people have this key ring either. And I don't know where it came from. My dad tells me a story of getting it off someone that come into the chip shop we used to work in Peckham. And he said he wanted some food. He was apparently, supposedly a questionable character, but I said, give me your key ring and I'll give you fish and chips. And then that's how he got this key ring. And it's come descendant to me. So if anyone's got this key ring, let me know where they come from, because I want to know the true story. But yeah, that's my favourite bit of memorabilia for Millwall I've got.
So guys, if you are watching this and you have one, or you know the story of it, please comment, get involved, contact us, because we need to know.
Also, I've never seen the club sell them. Have you seen the club ever sell them? I've never seen it be sold.
No, and it's something that I'm interested now to ask my dad and maybe other people, to see it, anyone like, obviously going to games at the Den and the same people are there, if anybody's got one, because I don't recall seeing many of them. So it's got to,
was it handmade by someone, or someone decided to make them one day and do a little run of them? Was it even a club official thing? These questions I need to know. So it's the stub, it's a gold ticket, it's got the price on £8, Mill versus Bristol Rovers at the old Den. I've actually got the original stub in a frame still. My dad gave me the actual ticket, good in condition, and I put it in a frame when I was younger. That's quite a nice memorabilia. I've also got the stub from 99 windscreen final in the frame.
Yep.
And I've also got, what have I got? Can't remember. There's one more. I've also got a match one shirt from Malcolm Allen, which is the oldest bit of kit I've got. Malcolm Allen, the Fairview top. So yeah, I've got different bits and bobs, but that key ring, for some reason, it just holds some sentiment and value for me. So I like that one.
I think the thing with that is as well, because lots of people will say a shirt, a signed ball, you know, this, that, and the other, but that's quite a really personal thing that obviously was given to you by your dad, and you'll keep that for a long time. So well, that's all the questions, guys. As I say, we wouldn't be here without Omar, and obviously Nicky, we can't forget him as well. I'm sure you've all been dying to hear Omar's story. It's been great to be able to do this, because as I say, you know, I'm part of this podcast because of obviously you and Mickey. We do this because we enjoy and we love our football club. So Omar, thank you very much for your time and providing the platform, shall we say.
No problem, mate. I mean, yeah, it's obviously a 4-year journey to get to this point where I'm doing questions on my own show. But no, look, I love it. And it's not my show, it's our show. And I enjoy doing it. And it was a lockdown hobby that turned into something we kept doing. And I wouldn't change it because obviously it's led me to meet people like yourselves, Ben, Dan, Joe, Chris, everyone that helps out and does the show, and obviously Mickey, can't forget to mention him, but yeah, that bald cunt. But yeah, aside from that, yeah.
We don't edit any of these, but Mickey, we's absolutely editing that part out before it goes live. But listen, guys, if Omar is willing to sit in front of the camera and do the questions on his own show, I'm sure there's plenty of you out there that would really, really love to get involved. So please drop us a message. Any of us, if you don't want me to interview, if you want Omar to do it, if you want Mickey to do it, whoever, get in contact. We've obviously got our Friday Night Live, Sunday Night Live, Chat with Chats, all of that really good stuff. So if you can give us a like, subscribe, follow us, comment all over social media, it's very much appreciated. As I say, speaking from my behalf and Omar and everybody else, we appreciate all the support that we get, and we would love to hear from more Millwall fans and get you in front of the camera like Omar. But that's been that Millwall podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.